Good King Wenceslas looked out on the feast of Stephen, when the snow lay round about, deep and crisp and even, brightly shone the moon.
Well, that recording, they've got a little bit too much coffee. Welcome back, America. Chew Hewitt on Tuesday, the 29th of November, 2016. I was just reading during the break about Knoxville, Tennessee, Motorists fleeing wildfires in Gatlinburg and Pigeon Forge. Packed roads in and out of resort towns on Monday night. The Gatlinburg Fire Department has ordered everybody out of town. There, of course, prayers for everyone there. The uncontrolled wildfires in the Great Smoky Mountains are threatening several areas of the land surrounding, including Dollywood. So your prayers for all of the people, all the guests, all the folks who were enjoying a holiday there. We're used to these kind of fires in California, and we have the teams and the water dumping. I'm not sure how often Tennessee has to deal with them. Special show today. My friends from Coldwater Media are in the studio in Colorado Springs. Coldwater, a big supporter of Salvation Army, and coldwatermedia.com, the principal purveyor of the very best in worldview media products across the spectrum. They've worked with everyone from the Museum of the Bible to Hillsdale College to Focus on the Family. They're extraordinarily talented, but they are also large-hearted, and one of the groups that they help along the way is Children's Hope Chest. And Ken Sparks, who is its president, joins us now. Ken, welcome to the Hugh Hewitt Show. Tell us a little bit about yourself and about Children's Hope Chest.
Well, good morning, Hugh. Delighted to be here. As a background, I'm like many of your listeners. I worked in corporate America for well over 30 years. And God called me out of that into an opportunity to work with Children's Hope Chest. So it's following a passion of mine that occurred over many years with our church's engagement with some ministry work overseas. And what Children's Hope Chest does is connects United States churches to our care points overseas, where we reach out into vulnerable communities and take care of orphaned and vulnerable children in those communities, helping them to increase their opportunities to restore dignity and hope in their lives. And we do that by setting up care points that allow the children to come to the location. They're sponsored by church members, and the unique proposition that we have is that we connect the U.S. church, a given church, with a given community, and that allows for relationship to develop over many years. It's not a in and out kind of donation scenario. And the
would you expand on that a little bit, Ken, and talk about how you match and for just use a for example, any particular congregation, any particular city?
Sure. I can think of a church in Kalamazoo, Michigan called The River, and they are connected with two different care points of ours, one in Uganda. It's called Odotel, Uganda. And in that community, they've been there for about 6 to 7 years, and we're in the process of moving them through the survive, thrive, and succeed approach that we take to assisting those in restoring that dignity and hope that we talked about. And we're nearing the end of that opportunity in terms of letting that community be restored to an ability of self-sustainability. And that is allowing The River to also engage with us in Guatemala, one of the other countries we work in, and they've just started a new relationship there. So they have two going on at the moment. The individuals in that church sponsor a child at a location, and they do that through our organization at $38 a month. And then they participate in projects to help that community move into self-sustainability, which includes establishing the care point itself. We build a multi-purpose building, and then from that, even on Sunday mornings, the building is used for church. And then Monday through Saturday, the children are ministered to with food and spiritual discipleship, a whole range of social activities, basically to keep the kids safe, because they're usually in highly impoverished and in urban areas, many times very dangerous environments.
How did this get started?
It was started in 1994 by a gentleman by the name of George Steiner, who responded to what he saw in the Russian orphanages when he was over visiting and distributing Bibles. And God called on his heart to establish Hope Chest to allow churches here to connect with the orphans over there and provide improvement in their situation, because those orphanages were truly third world scenarios. And that's how Jim got involved. Jim Fitzgerald got involved with the organization. And he is a board member in our organization and helps keep us straight and narrow on on the whole notion of how we approach giving and how we approach basically Christian impact around the world. Because what we want to do is move from donor dependency into self-sustainability and partnership. And that's the unique aspect that we bring to the table.
Jim, let me ask you a question as a board member. There are so many great groups in the world that operate out of a Christian worldview. They do what they think the gospel compels them, and they ask for help. And lots of them come on this show, and they do that. How do you discern, and you obviously have a lot of them as clients, how do you discern that, okay, Children's Hope Chest is one I'm not only going to invest in? I think they office in the Big Red Barn, don't they?
They do.
And so how did you come to that conclusion that they're that good that you're going to give them? And by the way, I'm just going to retweet a picture of their space, which is extraordinary, that this is the place you're really going to invest in.
Well, Hugh, in the late 90s, I got to travel to Russia and see things firsthand. George Steiner had just started the organization, and I met him, and I could just see this tremendous need, and they, their first orphanage that they worked in, they were using George's church as a partner, and so this model just developed out of that, of linking the American church with a specific project overseas. In this case, they would adopt an orphanage, essentially, and take that on as a long-term commitment. Even to the extent of after these kids left the orphanage, and in Russia it was at age 16, they were extremely vulnerable at that point to sex trafficking and other problems. The church would stay with them and come alongside and help them find a job and become financially secure. So I just really identified with the whole concept of a long-term pairing of a church with a significant need.
Ken Sparks, how many different places around the globe does Children's Hope Chest partner with?
We work in seven different countries with about 115 CarePoint locations, and about 100 churches here in the United States are connected to those specific locations. We have about 200 plus waiting for opportunities to connect a church to that CarePoint. And that's the unique value proposition our organization provides, is connecting the church and its members, both individually to a given child, as well as the entire congregation, to the mission and vision of that church's outreach into the world.
And, so if you're a pastor driving around right now and you say, my missions work is scattershot, you know, we get these offers here and here, but we really need to connect and thrive, go to hopechest.org and you will find them the care point. You will, you know, you'll offer them a menu of places to invade with their dollars. And I assume they visit these places too.
Yes, indeed. Yeah, if a pastor is driving around and wanting to expand the church's mission and impact around the world, what we do is facilitate that relationship and a partnership over many years. And so that way, their church members have an opportunity to make that investment both financially, but also, you know, relationally between themselves and a given child. And that allows them to then travel and experience what the rest of the world has. And it's a phenomenal thing when individuals go over year after year. We find that once they go, they get the bug and they want to go back, because that relationship really has deep meaning. And the opportunity to see Christianity at work in God's kingdom throughout the world takes on a whole nother fabric when individuals are able to revisit and see the impact that they're having on the individual child as well as the community. It is a remarkable thing, and we just really enjoy the opportunity to connect churches with those care points.
I gotta give a personal endorsement here. My Presbyterian home church, I'm Evangelical Roman Catholic Presbyterian, so I'm double dipped, both banks of the river. And we've had a number of partnerships in South Africa out of my Presbyterian church over many years, and people keep going back and back and back, and it makes a wonderful difference as they see people grow up within it. But that took a lot of infrastructure and a fairly wealthy church on the west coast of California to facilitate. If you're in Dubuque this morning, or you're in Mississippi, or you're in Cleveland, and you haven't got a missions program, this is like a missions program in a box, isn't it?
Yes, Ed, you could look at it that way. We have churches of all sizes. We have some 200-member churches, amazingly supporting some unbelievable work around the world. And so, yes, we can help a church really put their missions program on steroids. And it allows the church to have a vision for how they impact the world in a very concerted effort.
HopeChest.org is the website, HopeChest.org. Now, Kent, where exactly? Which countries are you working in?
We work in Russia, Moldova, India, and then in Africa, we've got Ethiopia, Uganda, and Swaziland, and then Guatemala. And we're looking to expand to other countries, but we need folks to come alongside and have the vision to make that impact. And so we have a program called Invest in Hope. And in fact, investorsinhope.com will take you to our website page that talks about how individuals can get involved with the organization to make an impact. So the opportunity for an individual to do that can be one-to-one, or if somebody's listening and says, hey, I'd like to have my church take a look at this, you can go to hopechest.org, and we would connect that leadership team with our development team and then explore what part of the world they might be being called to by God.
Are any of your churches persecuted? I mean, it's a dangerous thing to raise the flag in some of these countries you've just mentioned. Have you run into that?
We have run into situations where we are in hostile environments. I think of a couple where we are literally have a care point that is right in the middle of a Muslim area. And, of course, that has a little bit of tension in the early stages. But what's really remarkable is when we're reaching out into that community, it doesn't matter whether the child is Christian, Muslim, tribal religion. If they are vulnerable, we're reaching out to them in the name of Christ. They come to the care point each day, and that opens up a dialogue with the guardians of those children. And then from that standpoint, the fact that we are there for a long-range partnership has an impact on the community. They see that we're there all the time. It's not the situation where you see the white knights, and I mean in literally virtually every organization in Africa has white Land Rovers. I'm talking about Dave Stotts and his Land Rover in Israel. These are new Land Rovers that are typically white, and they drive into town and drop stuff off, and then the people there become donor-dependent. We don't do that, and that allows us to establish relationships with the local leadership that has impact and allows us to begin to transform the community around us, not only in the name of Christ, but on the economic side as well, because poverty is so deeply entrenched.
Yeah, you've got to root it out. More on Children's Hope Chest when we come back, hopechest.org. In the meantime, as you're looking for the links to this, head over to HughHewitt.com, find the link to relieffactor.com. Maybe we ought to airlift green and blue bags of this all over the world at the same time that we're doing that, because if you're building these places, you're going to be aching. If you're doing anything in the holidays and you're aching, try relieffactor.com. Terrific sponsor of this program for 2 years. Thousands of you have found that it works. It's the all-natural anti-inflammatory that if you take it every day, you'll find you can put down the Aleve, put down the ibuprofen. Watch the testimonials at relieffactor.com. I don't know if we posted any after Thanksgiving when people got out the extra leaf in their table and strained their back and, you know, banged their knees or their shins or turned their ankles playing in the turkey bowl. If that's you, you got swollen up ankles, try relieffactor.com. Relieffactor.com, $19.95, get you started. I'll be right back, America. Stay tuned.